back here for a minute. He begins this, this chapter by saying, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." All that is in within me. Now, when I read that, it conjures up an idea of praising God with literally every part of our being. And when I read that, the thing I think of is, how thankful are we? Do you ever think about that? Just how thankful are you? Because what God has done for us, what Jesus Christ has done for us, is a gift, speaking of the gift that keeps on giving, a gift that keeps on giving, and there is a gift like it nowhere else in life. This is the greatest gift you will ever receive. And it's a relationship that continues with you every moment of every day for all of eternity. How thankful are you? Do you have to kind of drum yourself up to, you know, kind of pump yourself up to praise God? Or is it an easy praise? Is it an easy worship? Do you fall into that situation of worship and awe of God is an easy transition? Or is it something like, it's like, okay, now's the time to give God praise and glory. So I guess I got to do it. I got to sing the songs. Or is it an easy transition into the realm of praise, into the realm of worship? Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Now, there is an aspect of this psalm that is in the element of prayer. And when we go through this, I want you to take notice in how his prayer goes, because he's not asking for anything in the psalm. This is a prayer, this is a psalm which is just strictly just giving God praise and glory. See, I think that oftentimes we see prayer as an opportunity to seek God in petition. In other words, it is an opportunity to go to God and ask for something. And I think that's a little bit of a product of society today. That's the way we see prayer. We go to God, "Oh Lord, give me this, give me that." And I think you are missing the vast majority of prayer and your prayer life if that's all that prayer is to you. Prayer is a communication. It's a communion with God. It is an opportunity for you to step even more so into the realm of the Spirit to focus in on a communion and communication with God the Father. Prayer should be a time of thanksgiving, a time of praise, a time of receiving. And I talk about that a lot because many times we go to prayer and it's a unilateral communication, without stopping and realizing that sometimes we just need to get that gift of shut up in the Spirit, okay, and just listen. Just listen to what He has for you. But we're in such a hustle, bustle, hurry world that we can't stop, you know, for more than 20 seconds and just sit there in silence and let God speak to you. Ask Him, "Lord, just speak to me." Now, again, if you're waiting for the phone call or the audible, you know, "Tim, this is God," you know, I doubt very much whether that's going to happen, you know. Maybe so. If it does happen, probably not. You probably shouldn't share it with a lot of people, okay? But if it happens, great. Okay, just, you know, friendly warning. All that is within me. Do we come into the presence of God with all that is within me? He goes on, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits." In my School of Discipleship class, it is a leadership and administration class. And in that realm, we've been listening to a series of tapes by Juarez. One of them Hispanic names. There's not a lot out here for me to compare it with. It's a purely Scandinavian name. And we're listening to these tapes. And one of the things he said on that was really important was he talked about the fact that he was speaking of why he does not go back to the world that he left behind. And he said two incredible statements. One, he says, you know, there's no difference between you and I. There's no difference at all. It's not like, well, you know, somehow as a pastor we're on a different level than everyone else, and everyone else can go back to Egypt. You can go back to the world and all the sins you left behind. You can rebuild that which you've already tore down. You can do all those things. Oh, but not the pastor. There's no difference between us. He says, except maybe one thing. He says, maybe I just love Jesus more than you do. Now, I don't know if you've ever listened to him on CSN or Raul Reese, or I don't know if it's something that's just cultural. These guys don't mess around, okay? I was like, ow, you know, that really hits. But you know what? You got a point. Maybe I just love Jesus more than you do. And the other thing he says he's been saved for 22 years, and he says, the biggest thing that keeps me from going back is I have not forgotten where I came from. I've not forgotten what I've left. Guys, I cannot emphasize enough. You need to remember what you've been forgiven of. You need to remember the world you left behind. You need to remember that which God has redeemed you out of. Because so oftentimes we forget so quickly. And sometimes it's only a matter of weeks. And it is as frustrating as can be for a pastor to see people go back to the exact same thing they were doing before. And sometimes that world has led to more than just pain. It has led to disaster, ruined marriages, perhaps jail time, bondage, physical and spiritual bondage to whatever it was. And we go back. And I'm like, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Because you forgot. You forgot what you were redeemed out of. And he says here, and forget not all of his benefits. It's something you need to bring up and say, you know what, Lord, thank you for redeeming me out of that, whatever it was. Whether it was drugs, alcohol, porn, adultery, whatever it was. And we've all been redeemed out of those things if you're born again. You've come out of that world. And God did it. It's not by your doing. And I tell you, I just can't imagine what it's like to watch God, for have God to watch you go back to that. Because you're His kid. You're not mine. It's painful enough for me. We need to remember from what we've come out of. He says, forget not His benefits. He goes on and he says in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I tell you, it may seem like a very small word there, but that word is ever so important when He says all sin. When He says, forgive us all thine iniquities here in the book of Psalms. You know what? One sin will send you to hell. Do you know that? Just one. That's all. You only have to be guilty of one sin when you're standing before the throne that day. One sin will send you in eternity apart from God. One sin. And He's saying, well, man, I'm doomed. No, you're not. Not if you're forgiven of all of your sins. See, if you're somehow trying to earn your righteousness with God, you better work real hard, be very diligent, because if you forget one, that one swept under the rug, that one in the very, very far corner closet of your mind, you know, that one little tiny, teeny little sin, that fib you forgot, if you don't cover that, you're damned forever. One sin. That's why it's important that if you are a believer in some other way to God, other than the blood of Jesus Christ, you better check into this point very, very clearly. Because if you're not forgiven of all your sin, you are lost for eternity. Jesus Christ says He will forgive us of all our sin. He died and paid for all of it. Past, present, and future. One sin. Now it says here in this verse, it says, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And that word forgiveth is a continues to forgive. It's in the continuing tense there. It goes on and on and on and on. If you're not a believer and you've ever wondered, what is it in a true believer when I see there is a peace in them and I can see it and I don't understand, what is that peace? It is the fact that we know our sins are forgiven and will be forgiven, every single one of them, white as snow. It continues on. See, that's where the sacrifices of the Jews in the days of Old Testament, that's where it fell short, you see. Because what happened is they would offer a sacrifice and it would cover them for a little while. It would take care. It would pay for the sins that they had committed. But as soon as they walked out the door, as soon as they sinned again, they were back in the guilty realm. That sound familiar to a religion of today? Yes. You know, you can bop down to confession, but what happens when you walk out of that booth, huh? You're guilty again. I always figured, what happens if you die in between there? I maybe don't understand Catholicism, but I'm trying to figure out exactly how that works, you know? Jesus Christ said, I tell you, I'm going to come and I'm going to be the pure, perfect, unspotted sacrifice, and I'm not just going to pay for sins, I'm going to wash the sins away, and I'm going to cleanse you forever and ever. And that's why when He on that cross said, "It is finished," it was over. All sins forgiven. What do I got to do? Just receive it. Just receive it. He says, "It forgiveth all our sins, all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Now, I realize some of you are out there tonight, and perhaps you are in physical pain. I mean, for more than just the message. You may have a disease, you may have an ailment, you may have pain, you may have something that you've been carrying for a long time, and you go, "Whoa, wait a minute here. For healeth all thy diseases." By the way, the fringe groups within the evangelical church, as well as the cults, will take you to this passage and say, "See, you're going to be healed of all your diseases. So name it and claim it, brother. You know, if you're sick, something's wrong. You got sin in your life, you know, and all this baloney." Of course, I'm not quite sure how they deal with Paul the Apostle. Thorn in his flesh. He asked for it to go away, and God said, "No." Said no. Timothy. He said, "Drink a little wine for your, you know, frequent ailments." In other words, Timothy wasn't even dealing with just once in a while thing. He had a lot of problems. Now, if God's going to take away all diseases, all problems, then we got a little problem with the rest of Scripture. So what does it say? Is this a lie? No, it's not a lie. There's two different ways to take this. If you are adamant to believe this is speaking of the physical realm, I will go along with you and say, "Okay, yes, I believe He will heal all physical ailments." Of course, you'll be dead and in an eternal body, and then you won't have any. But, oh yes, He'll heal you. But I believe this Scripture, according to the context we're talking about here, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not His benefits, forgiveth all my iniquities, who healeth all my diseases," is not speaking of physical here. That's not the context. And it goes on to speak more about the same line of thinking. The issue here is spiritual. The issue is sin and disease. And you know what? That's exactly what sin is. It's a disease. It's a cancer. You know, the problem with cancer is rarely does it just stay in the form when you first discover it. Cancer grows, doesn't it? It consumes you to finally destroy you. And that's the way sin is. You know, okay, so I, you know, watch a little porn. You know, hey, I got it under control. No, you don't. And you won't. Because there's something inside of us, inherent, that needs more of whatever. Do you ever hear when you're growing up, "Don't smoke that weed. That'll lead to harder drugs." And I was one. I poo-pooed that. "Oh, I'm not going to go to harder drugs. That's insane. I'm just smoking a little weed. I'm into the natural stuff, man." You know. And then somehow I decided somewhere along the way that speed was natural. Because that was my next drug of choice. And those of you that know me well, you would understand why speed would be your pastor's drug of choice. Boy, I liked moving fast. And in the 70s, speed was speed. You took that stuff and you moved. And that was some great stuff. Okay? It also makes your hair fall out. Now, that may or may not be our problem, but I had a friend, and we used to buy, you know, lots of White Cross, for those of you who can remember those days. We'd buy, you know, like 500 White Cross together, and we'd split it. And the problem is, she had hair that she could sit on, and her hair started falling out. It's a speed. That's not good for you. You know, so I'd come to class one day, and I'd be sitting there stoned. The next day, I'd be rocking. You know, you ever see a speed freak? You know, because they can't sit still there. Now, also, some of you guys are just, you know, the nervous type, so don't start looking around the room and seeing the guy who's shaking his leg, okay? Speed freak! I don't even know what's out there anymore, but I tell you one thing, it does lead to harder stuff, because you know what? You want a bigger and badder buzz the next time. You want more. Porn's the same way. Alcohol. Whatever it is, you want a bigger and badder buzz the whole way. So when we look at this situation, we have to realize that that is what is happening with us. It's going to happen with us. Disease, cancer, it's going to grow. It's going to consume you, and it will finally destroy you. If you've got any deep closet hidden sins that you think, well, you know, I'm part of the body of Christ. I'm just going to keep this here, and this is okay. I know it's wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. It will end up knocking you out of the running. You know what I'm talking about? Out of the kingdom? No. No. I don't believe any one sin is going to knock you out of the kingdom. But I tell you one thing. Life can be an awful lot of hell here before you get to heaven, if you choose to run it that way. And we've talked about it before. It's only a matter of time before God says, you know what? I told you to stop. I'm going to take you now. I'm going to whoop you. I'm going to spank you, and you're going to learn not to do that. Now, how many of you ever been spanked by God? Yes, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I wish it was just, you know, a spoon out back, you know that? But, you know, it really doesn't go down that good. You know what? What happens usually is the Bible tells us that your sin will find thee out. And it gets laid out before everybody, and it's, oh, and you go, why did I take it to this degree? Why did I keep going? Now everybody knows I'm embarrassed. The sin has consumed me. Now it's affected my marriage. It's affected my job, affected whatever. I had a brother once in the church here that had a problem in a certain area, and so in a men's prayer breakfast, he just laid it out there. Said, look, guys, I got this issue, and I'm telling you all so you all hold me accountable. I'm like, that was classy. We all knew then. It's kind of hard to hide then, wasn't it? And you know what? The guys took it really well and dealt with it really well. I mean, nobody was, you know, following him around binoculars. I mean, it wasn't like that at all. And I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying there is an issue of realizing that if you're hiding this and you're trying to keep it to yourself, it will be a cancer. It will be a disease. But God heals that disease. Do you want to be healed? You see, that's the problem. That's the only thing that's keeping you on the disease of spiritual healing, is whether you want to be healed or not. He heals us of all diseases in that respect. Verse 4 says, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who redeemeth thy life. Let me tell you something. Redeemeth is more than forgives. We kind of got a handle on that idea of forgives. Okay, God's going to forgive me. Whew, I'm forgiven. Redeem goes greater because, see, until you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, till you turn over your life, you are owned lock, stock, and barrel by Satan. Now, I realize you're going, oh, no, no, man. I'm free. I ain't into Satan. I'm not into this God thing either, but I'm into Satan. I'm my own man. It's like, get real. Who are you trying to convince? There isn't a person that knows better on this side that's going to agree with you. I mean, you're a fool. You're a fool. To be able to actually believe that you are free and, you know, controlling your own destiny. And we're in bondage. In other words, you are owned. You're a slave to sin and you're owned by Satan. And he may not be like, you know, they're prodding you, and you may not be out into satanic worship and carrying around a satanic Bible and all stuff. You see, you don't have to do that to be one of his. The only thing you have to do is nothing. Just do nothing. Just ride it. Ride the stream on down, because you know what's waiting on the other side. You ever seen the cartoons, you know, the big waterfall? You know? And you're kind of just coasting along, the water's kind of calm, and it's like, what's that noise? You know what that noise is? It's hell. It's hell right on the bottom of that waterfall, and that's what's waiting. All you got to do is just ride it out, this thing called life. Don't do nothing, and he gets you by default. So why should he pick on you? Just, you know, kick back, ride it. So do nothing. See, you're a slave to sin until he redeems us. And the amazing thing is there is this one by the name of Jesus Christ that paid for you already. It's like when you, in the scriptural days, historically speaking, if you were in slavery because you couldn't pay a debt, and that's why most of them were in slavery, you couldn't pay your debts, and so you were put into slavery and you worked it off, and it could be for years and years. So let's say you're in slavery, the kinsman redeemer could come, someone could come and say, you know what, I'm going to pay his debt, and I'm going to redeem him out. I'm going to pay him out so he's free. That's what Jesus Christ did. He not only forgave you, he redeemed you. He paid for you. You have the opportunity to truly know and embrace freedom. And he's willing to pay. But if you do not receive it, what you're in essence doing is like, no thanks, I like bondage. I like it here on the slavery side. I like it here in Egypt. And, you know, it's like, oh, the leeks and onions, true. But, yeah, they kind of beat me and, you know, make me crawl around and build bricks with, you know, out of, you know, hay that I have to gather myself. And you all know the story. And spiritually speaking, we do the same thing. He's got you under bondage and he's controlling you and he's messing with you and he's got you. Don't you understand? He's ripping you off. Because the price has been paid. All you have to do is say, hey, you know what? I'll receive that. I'm walking out of here. I'm free. The choice is ours. He redeemed us. It's not like when you receive Jesus Christ that he's got to go back up on that cross and pay for you. No, no. The price has been paid 2,000 years ago. All you have to do is just receive it. And that's just what just amazes me, why people will not receive Jesus Christ. No thanks. Rather go to hell, thank you. Rather live this life I got going now and I'm alone. I never know about tomorrow. I never know what's going on. I don't know how you sleep. I guess maybe because I know better. So I couldn't imagine sleeping at night. What happens if I don't wake up? I mean, don't you think about that? I think about that every time I close my eyes. If I don't wake up, this is it. I mean, I'm gone forever. This is it. Darkness, weeping, gnashing of teeth. You know, that nasty. I couldn't even sleep at night. But once you receive Jesus Christ and you know he's got you in his hands, we sleep peacefully. Who redeems thy life. He goes on in verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, notice these verses, 3, 5, 7. It's all who forgives us, who redeems us, who satisfies, he made us. It's all God, notice. See, it really has very little to do with you. What's your part? Let him. Let him. That's it. Let him. You have to set your will aside. I am willing to let God, who loved me, gave his only son to die for me, who created the universe, knows every little thought and motive, everything about me, right down to the molecular level. He knows everything. Let this guy have in me what I was designed to be. Let him in me fulfill that which I've been created for, that which would make me the greatest happy, you know, happiness in my life, the greatest joy. That's it. That's all you have to do is let him. That's your part. His part is all the rest. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things? I take it everyone here, you know, are you getting enough to eat? You know, I mean, if you're not, we'll give you some food before you leave here. I mean, we eat. How about the rest of it? I mean, hasn't God given us so much? I mean, he's blessed us so much, even on the material level. Food, jobs, most of you. Clothes, cars, if you can call them that. It's a loose term, okay? Things with wheels. You know, all these things, he's given us so much. And how many of us, speaking of forgetting, how many of us, we just kind of coast, and as long as the blessings kind of come steady, it's easy to forget, isn't it? Until the first time something, you know, doesn't start. Or something doesn't happen. And boy, we just squeal, don't we? Where are you, God? I thought you loved me. You know, and we whine so quick. We forget. But he's given us so much. He feeds us. Gives us the things that we need. So that youth is renewed like an eagle. Now, guys, all of us are going to grow bodily old in this room. I know if you're young, you're in denial. It's not going to happen, okay? I just cross that big 40 mark, you know. So, you know, I know I'm growing older. You know, I'm about a quarter of the way there. So, yeah, about a quarter. And I know we're all growing older, okay? And there's no way out of that. And when you look at something that's so that youth is renewed like an eagle, one thing I don't like, and you're not going to hear it from me because these aren't just words. I actually believe it. Spiritually, I am determined to never grow old. And one thing I cannot stand is when older people, and sometimes they're my age, you know, and they start whining about, well, you know, I'm really too old to do that. I'm going to let the younger people of the church do that. It's like, great. So now I got a bunch of kids running around. We got no leadership, you know. I mean, I need you. God's army needs you. I need your wisdom. I need your years that you have. And we grow old. We do it to ourselves. I mean, those of you that have met Chuck Smith, I mean, he's getting up there. Isn't he in his 70s now, I think? Something like that. He's still got a young heart, doesn't he? Young spirit. There's just a spirit about him. And that's the way I want to be. I am determined to keep fighting. And the reason they use the eagle is because an eagle tends to keep its strength, its abilities right up until death. You know, and that's where I want to go. I just want to be preaching along and just fall over. And everybody will laugh. They'll think I'm kidding around. They'll go, no, I think he's dead. You know? And then you'll all feel bad because you laughed. But I'll be laughing too. I'll be laughing that you laughed. So that the youth is renewed like eagles. Guys, stay after it, okay? I mean, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet inward man is renewed day by day. See, I think, spiritually speaking, we should be getting stronger, bolder, tougher the older we get. Not falling apart, not bowing to the younger people, okay? Don't do that. Don't do that to me. Don't do it to God. You're still a very viable part, and God has a plan, so don't bow out. There is no retirement in the Christian faith, you know? I mean, I see some people that are, you know, just old. They're just saints, and they're working, man. They're still going. And they're old in body, but you can see it in their eyes. They're still pumped with the love of Jesus Christ, the chance to serve Him. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Now, you may have heard this verse before. You may have heard it from me. This is a great verse. Those of you in leadership, in my leadership class, you're definitely going to hear it. We're going to be talking about this verse later on. Again, let's read this verse 7. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. Now, you see, His acts. The people of Israel, especially like in the wandering in the desert period of time, they saw the result of God's hand. Okay? But Moses, he saw much more. You remember when they were kind of scared? They said, whoa, we're not going to the mountain. Hey, I got an idea, Moses. You go talk to God and you come back and tell us what He said. See, there was a fear aspect in the sense that they drew a line in the sand and said, this is how far we want to go with God. And so all they ever saw was the acts of God. They never saw the ways of God. There's a big difference. And I don't want to pursue this whole idea of a greater revelation too much, but in this respect, there is a greater revelation for those who seek such a place. Okay, but it comes with a price. Moses saw what God did, but he saw much more than that. He saw the manner in which God acted, the direction and the path in which God traveled. And perhaps not just what He did, but also why, how, and with whom He did it. See, it's not enough for me and my world just to see what God has done. I want to know His ways. I want to be closer than that. Now hold your place in your Bible here, but let's turn back to Exodus. Let's look at this for just a minute before we go on. Back to Exodus in the Old Testament. Chapter 33. Exodus 33. Let's start in verse 8. And it came to pass when Moses went unto the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended. Now, those of you who know this passage know that that was the presence of God that moved with him. Okay, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Well, that's my first woe right there. Whoa. The Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And all the people rose up and worshipped every man at his tent door. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Wow. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the younger man, departed not out of the tabernacle. He wouldn't leave. Wouldn't at that point either. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know with whom you will send with me, who you'll send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. If I found grace in your sight, Lord, show me your way. He wasn't satisfied just seeing the acts of God. He wanted to know the ways of God. That I might find grace in thy sight and consider this, the nation is thy people. And he said, My presence shall go with thee. This is God speaking. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. In other words, Lord, if you're not going with me, I don't want to go. Don't take me up there. For wherein shall it be known here that I and the people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall thou be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. For thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Moses wanted more. Now, those of you that know the story of Moses and the life of Moses know that it was not an easy life. He paid a heavy price for the fact that he was a leader. But he was Moses. He got to go up that mountain and be in the physical presence of God, creator of the universe. He got to be in that place. He got to receive the tablets written with the finger of God. I mean, to some of you out there, you know what I'm talking about. You want that, don't you? I mean, we talked about this in class last night. You want that. It's like, I want that. I want that with every part of my body, and there's nothing can do to stop me. I need to. I want to. I must know the ways of God. It's a passion that God has given you, and there's nothing that can stop you. Some of you are satisfied with standing at your tent and letting the leaders go talk to God. Hey, you let us know what God said, okay? And it's okay to see the acts of God. To see the earth tremble and, you know, to see those kind of things, that's enough. Some of you want to be there. You want to see how God made the mountain tremble. How God did those wonderful, miraculous things. In the times of Jesus, we know them as the apostles. It wasn't enough to know that Jesus just existed and that he was Savior of the world. They wanted to be there. They wanted to see him take mud and stick it in a guy's eyes and make him see that never could see before. Some wanted to be there with Paul the Apostle when he said, you know, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I'll give you. And the guy was healed. He could walk. Some of you want to see those things. Some of you want to experience those things. The ways of God. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of God. Now, before I go on, turn to the New Testament, to John chapter 14. We read it in the old, now we see it in the new. John chapter 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. This is Jesus speaking. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. And the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest. How can we know the way? You see, it wasn't enough for Thomas to know that he was going or to know his movements. He wanted to know the way. He wanted to know how he was going, where the path was, where that road was. He wanted to experience that. And what was Jesus' answer? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way. I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way. How many of you know Jesus Christ tonight? No, I'm not talking about know him like, yeah, I know of him. The Bible tells us the devil knows of him. The demons know of him, and they shake. They quake. They're not going to be in heaven. Knowing of him is not the issue. The world knows of Jesus Christ. But do they know him? Do you know him? Now, I remember a pastor, I don't know if it was Damien Kyle or someone in the past, though, we've regurgitated several times. The idea is like, you can say, well, I know Michael Jordan. Do you really? The great basketball? You know Michael Jordan? Well, I know of him. It's a big difference in knowing of him. Yeah, I watch him. I watch him play basketball. That's a lot different than hanging out with him and knowing him. Knowing him and him knowing you. That's the way. That's the ways of God. Let's go back to Psalms now. Let's go on, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. There's one of them tattoo on your forehead verses there, okay? The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. Now, you want to know God's ways? This is it. Merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. Because see, many of us know his acts. They know him by reputation. They know him by seeing his works. Oh yeah, I hear God's gracious and merciful. Yeah, I hear that about your God. Yeah, and I hear he's a loving God, you know. And oh yes, he's very merciful. And we can even come off our lips with that. But have you experienced his love? Have you experienced his grace? Have you experienced his mercy? Because many of you tonight say, oh yes, I know his works. I know his grace. I know his mercy. I've experienced it. I know it. He goes on in verse 9, he says, he will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. And the word chide means to strive, contend, and plead. He will not always contend and strive, neither will he keep his anger forever. You know, the Lord's patient and he is mercy and he is gracious. But you know what? He's not always going to contend with you if you're not a non-believer tonight. If you're not one of his children and he's punching away at you and he's pricking your heart and he's calling you home, he's not always going to keep poking you. Because like Pharaoh of Egypt, we can harden our heart and we can harden our heart, and sooner or later God's going to confirm you and go, oh, I guess you want your heart hard, so be it. Now we know that as blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, even if you're non-Christian, you're likely to know what I'm talking about. It's the unforgivable sin. There's only one, okay? One sin. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In other words, I will say no to him. Again and again and again, I'm saying no to the prodding of the Holy Spirit. That one sin will send you to eternity away from God. And you can get to the point where you no longer hear him. God will confirm you in it. Do you know people who are very satisfied in a life of sin? Maybe they used to be prodded. Maybe they used to even look into the things of God. But they've walked away and they're very happy. They're very fine. And I don't know if they've committed that sin. There's only one person that knows that, and that's God Almighty. I don't know that. But I know you can reach a point where the Holy Spirit will confirm you in that. By continuing to say no, continuing to harden your heart. He will not always contend and strive. Neither will his anger be forever. Now here's that balance to the grace and mercy of verse 8. Not always going to. Now his mercy is gracious. And there's no one in here that cannot say that God did not cut you some slack. And did not give you a fair deal and a fair shake. Because let me tell you something. If you're sitting here tonight and you're hearing my words, or you're listening on the radio and you're hearing these words, you know it. You know in your heart God has given you opportunity, and you have opportunity tonight. His doors are open. And we will look at the rest of this chapter here as we go through this. Look and see that you can't possibly out-sin the grace of God. It cannot happen. I don't care whether you're Attila the Hun. He will forgive. It is only that one sin that will send you to hell. Not the adultery. Not the drug abuse. Not the porn. Not all these things. It's not that. It's the rejection of him. Now, am I giving you permission to go out on those things? Absolutely not. I'm saying that a man transformed is a man transformed. And you will change in those their areas. You will not be able to help it if God is truly God in your life. If you are truly transformed, it will happen. Because something occurs inside of you, a love and a passion that continues inside of you. It will grow. Has he not dealt with us after our sins? He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And it's a good thing. Because mine would be a lot to pay for. It's a big pile. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Now, whether he's talking about heaven, as we think of heaven, being that far above earth, that's how great his mercy is. Now, so I ask you, how far is heaven above the earth? I don't know. I haven't seen it, so it must be pretty far up there. And if he's talking about heavens in general, I think that right now they estimate somewhere that the end of our universe is somewhere around the age or the distance of 16 billion light years. Now, a light year is how far light can travel in a year. I don't know what that thing is, Steve Pupp knows. How far a light can travel a year. That many, 16 billion of those. Now, let me tell you. Look, if I'm light, I can make some distance. You know, I can haul. How fast does it take? Like, you turn on the light switch? 16 billion years of that traveling. That's how far the end of our universe is. And you know what? I'm not too sure that they even know. I think they're just taking a shot. But you know what? When you're dealing in that realm, you know, give or take a billion, what's the matter, right? 16 billion, give or take a billion. And when we look at that situation, if that is heaven, look how God's mercy is. It's that much? 16 billion light years worth? That's a lot of mercy, guys. That's a lot of mercy. Verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, keyword, removed past tense. If you're a child of God tonight, this is removed past tense. How far is east from west? I don't know. I tell you what. You go outside tonight and just head west, okay? And when you hit east, then you can come home, okay? Every few years, I'll be sitting on the steps as you pass. Hey, how you doing, man? Because you know what? You're never going to get to east. How far is east from west? You keep going west, you're just going to keep going west. You'll never get to east. That's how far our transgressions have been removed from us. Hey, believer, you want security? That's the best security in the world right there. As far as the east is from the west. And he goes on and says, like as our father pitieth or has compassion upon his children, so the Lord pitieth or has compassion on them that fear him. Fathers, how much do you love your kids? I mean, don't you have compassion on them? Don't you love them? He goes on and says, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Those of you who know a little bit about science know that the same elements that make up dirt make up your human body. Isn't that interesting? Wow, and that's a coincidence that in Galatians it says that he made us out of dirt. See, the Bible only scientifically proves true. If you're brave enough to dig in, you'd find out that that is true. We're dirt. We're walking, talking, breathing, living dirt. I like that. And you know what? This thing we call our bodies that we take such good care of. We put makeup on and neat clothes and comb our hair just right and do all stuff. You know, think about that when you're putting makeup on dirt. You know? Now, ladies, I'm not saying you can't wear any makeup, okay, or anything like that. I'm just saying that this is dirt. It began dirt. It is dirt. It's going back to dirt. You're going to be worm food. That's it. Make a decision. That's it. That's all it is. God created the body so that you can move around, make this decision, yay or nay for Him. That's what this life is all about. And then you go back to dirt. Except the real me gets the body I was supposed to have at the beginning. Perfect. You know, that pass-through wall stuff. Travel at the speed of light stuff. Yeah. I hope so. All those things. And I will live on forever because the soul of man never dies. And as I've said many times, 10,000 years from now, you'll be conscious. Do you know that? You're not going to just disappear. 10,000 years from now, you'll be conscious. And I hope that there is some sort of time frame so that 10,000 years from now, wherever you are, you'll go, hey, you know what? It's 10,000 years ago, Pastor Tim said that I would be conscious. And sure enough, here I am. The only problem is some of you won't be able to see your watch because it'll be dark. And the little indigo thing will have run out of batteries a long time before. Yeah. Because there'll be the absence of light. 10,000 years. And forever. But see, you make that choice. God sends no one to hell. Okay? He just confirms reservations. We choose. You choose. Every one of us chooses. He knows our frames. He knows we're just dust. He knows what we really are. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it's gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. Man comes, and we're quickly gone. If you need more of that, just read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon found that out. We're just here and we're gone. I don't know about you guys, I want more. If this is it, what a drag. I'm not saying I don't have a good time here, that I don't have a joy. But I want more than, you know, my 160 years. Guys, sit until I'm half quarter way. I want more than that. I want eternity. And you know what? Don't you want to see Him? Don't you want to know Him? I mean, don't you want to talk with Him after all this stuff you've gone through? Don't you want to talk to Him? Don't you want to know the One who can make stuff from scratch, that can make a human being out of dirt? I want to know this One. I want to know His ways. I don't want to just know His acts. And I want to know that for eternity. Some of you know what I'm talking about. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting to everlasting. We live in a world that just doesn't seem like anything's permanent. Nothing lasts. Especially not in America. You know, we build stuff to just last a couple of years, falls to pieces. Build it again, you know. Isaiah 51:6 says, lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look upon the earth beneath. For the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Forever. What else do you have that's forever? Anything? Anything you have that's forever other than your salvation? Nothing. Nothing. To such as keep His covenant and to those that remember His commandments to do them. For sake of time, you want to look into this issue of covenant, Jeremiah 31:31-34. Chapter 31, verses 31 through 34, and Matthew 26:28 speaks of this covenant. To such as keep His covenant and to those that remember His commandments and do them. See, this isn't this life of eternal. It's not for everybody. It's for those who've received Him. But the price has been paid for everybody. What a drag. He paid for everybody, but we have to receive it. And so many of us will go to eternity in hell because We just simply refuse to allow the payment to be made, refuse to be redeemed out of bondage. And you know it. You know in the deep of your heart that you are a slave to sin and you cannot stop. And that in your own righteousness, it'll never add up. And hey, remember, one sin is all it takes. One sin. The Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. And I realize in this day and age, with the world in chaos, it's hard to believe that. But you see, it's all part of the plan, whether we understand it or not. And by the way, God did not make the war in Sudan. We did. God did not make the crime on the streets. We did. God did not make war and crime and pestilence and plague and all. He didn't do it. We did that. This world that's out there, that's our work, our handiwork. We did this right from Adam all the way through, and we're still doing it. You know, I have a problem, but you know, I hate to be Mr. Ecology. It's all going to burn. I have a problem. When you drive, do you see like bags alongside the road that people just throw out like McDonald's bags? That just freaks me. What possesses a person just to roll down the window and throw it away? There's no away. There's no such place as away. Throw it away. And there it is, laying alongside the road at McDonald's. Like, you stupid, put that in the garbage. I don't understand that. I mean, I'm driving this pristine little gravel road today away from my house, and there's this McDonald's bag along the road. It's like, yeah, that ruined it. You ever been out in the park, you know, going down the river, you know, it's beautiful, pristine, and here's a beer can? Sorry, pet peeve. And His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of the Lord. Bless the Lord, all you, ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, David is going for the full crescendo here. You know, he's got everybody all united in this giant, you know, last of the opera, the great moment, everyone sing in glory all together. And he starts with the angels. Okay? Then he goes on, he says, you ministers of His, remember that word means servants. You servants of His that do His pleasure, that's a servant. Then he says, bless the Lord, all His works, or all His creation. And you're saying, well, the tree's going to sing? Well, I don't know. Remember Jesus when He was coming in to Jerusalem? And everybody was, Hosanna, Hosanna, you know. And the Pharisees were going, you know, Jesus, you need to get these guys to stop doing that, you know. They're saying the wrong thing. And He says, you know what? If they stopped, the very rocks would cry out. That'd be cool to see, wouldn't it? The very rocks would cry out. David's calling all of creation here to praise God. And let me ask you something. Is your voice in there somewhere? I mean, somewhere amongst all that, are you praising God tonight? Let me tell you something. If you're a child of God, you should be praising Him. You know that praise. Because you have been given the greatest gift anyone could ever give. The gift of eternal life, the gift of whole, complete forgiveness. And if He died on that cross, and we know He did. That's a historical fact. He paid for that price. If you've received that, you have been forgiven forever and forever and forever. And when you're in the eternal realm and 10,000 years are past, and if you begin to doubt, just go find Jesus and say, excuse me, Lord, can I see your hand? And turn over His hand, because the Bible tends to give us the idea that the only imperfection in heaven will be the nail scars in Jesus' hands, that we might be remembered for all of eternity what He did for us. Pay the price. If you don't know Him tonight, you can do it right there. Yes, this is the great pitch. Okay? You're saying, I knew this was coming. It seems like an awful lot of price has been paid here for you to continue to ignore. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And you know what? You may put it off another day and you may survive. You may wake up tomorrow morning. You may not. You may put it off till you're an old person and you'll lay there on your deathbed and maybe you'll, and if you're not saved, you better hope you get the blessing of fading out. Now me, I want to go like that because I'm ready. So just, you know, let me fight till the end and then kick me out. But if you can fade out, then maybe you get a chance to think, you know, I should receive Jesus Christ. Maybe you'll get that opportunity. But maybe, you know what? Maybe you won't even think about it. Maybe you won't want to. And maybe it'll seem so alien to you, you won't. My wife is an intensive care nurse, and she's talked with people that are dying. You're on your way out. They know they're on their way out. And you can talk to them about the things of God. I don't want to hear it. It's like, eternity, but forever and ever. Because they've hardened their heart somewhere along the way. And God confirmed them in it. They've committed the unpardonable sin and they will go into eternity, you know, with that unpardonable sin in their hand and they will pay for that. Now, let me tell you something. Despite what tonight's message, if you're new around here, I don't consider myself what we commonly call a hellfire and brimstone preacher. Okay? Because fear is not a basis for building Christianity on and building a relationship with. But a fear will motivate you to understand that He loves you. That is the foundation to build it on. He loves you enough to throw your sins as far as the east is from the west, as far as from here to the edge of the universe, 16 billion light years, give or take a billion. Forgiven. Finished. Complete, whole. Then you can get on with the business of finding out what He's got for you on this earth before He takes you away. As we close in prayer, guys, you don't need me. I can't save you. You don't need anyone in this room except one person in this room, and that's the Holy Spirit. And I've told you guys this before. I am more sure that He is here than you are here. You would more likely convince me that you are a figment of my imagination than you will convince me that the Holy Spirit is not amongst us in this room. If two or more are gathered in my name, there I will be also. He's here. He can hear every word I'm saying. But so is Satan. Just beyond the realm of what you can see, there is a war going on in this room. I'd love to see it, man. It'd probably just scare me to death, though. It's probably why it doesn't show it to me. And they're literally conversing about you. I'm going to get him. No, you ain't. And Satan will continue to convince you that this Christianity thing, it's a farce. You don't want to be one of those Bible thumpers. You don't want to be one of those crazy religious fanatics. What are your friends going to think? What's your girlfriend going to think? Oh my gosh, it's finished. Oh, you'll never lose all your friends. Maybe. Maybe you will. I'll be your friend. That excites you, doesn't it? I can tell. But there's a war going on for you. And the only thing I can do in closing here is pray that the Lord and the Holy Spirit will bind the hands of Satan long enough for you to get a clear shot. Because see, as an unbeliever, the only thing that I can really pray for and expect an answer is a window of opportunity. I can pray, and I believe the Lord will answer that. I can say, Lord, bind the hands of Satan, just give that window of opportunity. Let this person make a decision. And He'll let you. And He'll let you walk out of here if the decision's no. But you can walk out of here a child of God, a child of the King, just by saying yes. Now, I'll tell you right now, this is forever, kids. This is forever and forever. You make that decision. There's no turning back. If you truly give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, no one can ever take it away, and you can never give it back. Those of us in this room will vouch for that. We've tried to give it back. Really? You know? I didn't wear it. Honest. It's still in the box. You know? Sorry. No deposit, no return. And you will grow to a point one day where you will grow great comfort in the fact that you can't give it back. It's yours forever and ever and forever. I will not tell you that it will not come without cost.
I will not tell you that every bump and bruise and difficulty in your life will go away. That's a lie. This is not the easy road. This is the swimming upstream road. Okay? This is against the current. And Satan will try to pick on you and convince you that it's not true. But you just read it. As far as it is from here to the edge of the universe. Let's pray. Father, tonight, in closing, we've come to understand that You are the way, the truth, and the life, and we must come through You. You are the only door. Lord, in our flesh, we would love to be politically correct. We would love to say, you know, all roads lead to You, Lord. We'd like to be politically correct and say that there are many roads to heaven and that this is just one. But you know what? There's not. And we can't be politically correct, Lord, because You tell us You're the only way. If we don't come through You, we don't get there. And that there isn't a person in this room, Lord, that will ever be righteous enough, will ever meditate themselves, discipline themselves, follow enough rules to ever be righteous enough to stand before the Creator of the universe. But only through You, Lord, only whether we will know Your way, Father, or whether we will just know Your acts. Whether we will just stand back and watch what You are doing around us, or whether we will know the way, and You tell us You are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, I am asking for that window of opportunity. I'm asking for that window. I'm asking that for a moment's time that You will bind the hands of Satan in this room and that You will give a clear shot for everyone in this room, everyone that is listening on the radio, a clear shot for just a moment. That they can see You clearly. That what You did was out of love. That what You did was not out of force. No one forced You and You're not forcing us. You are offering redemption. You are offering salvation. Forgiveness. As far as the east is from the west. Lord, we want to be able to lift our hearts to You and praise to know that You are truly God. Thanks for being my Savior. Can't speak for everybody here, Lord, but I can speak for myself. And thanks for being my Savior. Thanks for being my Lord. Thanks for being my friend. As far as I'm concerned, Lord, without You, there's no reason to get up in the morning. You are my life. You are my light. And Lord, everyone in this room in a few years is just going to go back to dirt. What are we living for? For the flesh or for the eternal? The amazing thing, Lord, is living for the eternal has fulfilled me in this life like nothing ever did. Yes, Lord, I have an addiction. I have something that I want more and more and more of. Because, Lord, I'm addicted to You. So I'll take all You got, Lord. And I want more today than I did yesterday, and I want more tomorrow than I did today, because I can't get enough, Lord. If you don't know Him tonight, there's no sinner's prayer. There's no magic words to speak. It's a heart thing. The Bible says, "Believe in Me, and thou shalt be saved." The thief on the cross that day with Jesus Christ said, "Jesus, remember Me today when you go into paradise." That's it. Because what happened in that man's heart was what mattered, not what he said. And Jesus said, "Today you'll be with Me in paradise." That's it. No hoops to jump through. None of that religious junk that people seem to attach to everything. Just the Word of God right here. And the Spirit's leading to lead us into this. And He will, through this Word and through His Spirit, make us into the image of the Son. And if we don't know You, we can do it right now. And You hear everybody in this room, every thought, every motive, every beating heart. You hear everything, Lord. Lord, I know that You will not hold back Satan forever. That You will allow us the freedom to sin. You have for so long. But You are also calling many of us home. Lord, my prayer goes out to all those here that do not know You, that maybe tonight would be the night. If anyone needs prayer with somebody, you need some help, you need some clarity on an issue. There's people around here who can point you in the right direction. If you don't know, ask around. Who can I pray with? Maybe that person you ask will say, I'll pray with you. Find somebody you trust. Find somebody who knows. They'll point you in the right direction. Because it's all Jesus. It's not us. Lord, thanks for making it so easy because, I'm kind of an idiot, Lord. I need it kind of idiot-proofed. You made it nice and easy for me. Thanks for being my King and my Lord tonight, Lord. Be with all of us as we leave here, Lord. If anybody here has received Jesus Christ tonight, tells us to confess before men. He says if you cannot confess it before men and you deny Him before men, He will deny you before the Father. So I would encourage you to tell somebody. Tell somebody. That tonight, not to make a big deal. You don't have to, no fireworks or anything like that. Just say, tonight was my night. Lord, we love You. We thank You. Go with us now. Walk with us.